Welcome back to The Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN. Rich, I want to get right to our guest. He's our ESPN NFL insider, Field Yates, and it's all brought to you by Wendell's Furniture in Colchester and, of course, Wendell's Vermont Bed Store at 4050 Williston Road. They're selling quality furniture and bedding at fantastic prices, including Vermont-made hardwood furniture. How you doing, Field?
Doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. I can't believe we're rolling along into week 14 of the NFL season.
Field, I don't know how many Pats fans are doing so great. No Gronk now, no Danny Amendola for New England. You find that people are jumping off the Patriots bandwagon these days?
Well, if they are, it's probably a short-sighted move. Now, I understand that Gronk is probably the most dominant offensive player non-the NFL, or at least he's at the very least in the conversation. But you know, the Patriots showed in one game that they're going to have to find ways to pick up the pieces along the way, and they're going to have to get a little bit creative. It will not be nearly as much tight end usage in the passing game, but perhaps the Patriots rely more upon young rookie wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell. And the two running backs that can be a real factor in the passing game in Deion Lewis and James White. Danny Amendola is a player who is a clutch player for the Patriots. He makes big plays consistently, even in a small role, but the Patriots, again, have to go to the well of depth at wide receiver and find ways to account for his absence.
All right, Field, big Monday night game, Patriots and Ravens. Ravens got off to that great start. They were 3-0, then they went through a tough part. Now they're back on track. What kind of team is this Baltimore team?
They're a very good defensive team. They're a team on offense, though, that is somewhat Jekyll and Hyde. And the key for Baltimore, and this goes for a lot of offenses, but we've seen it over the past 3 weeks, for Baltimore, as the offensive line goes, so goes the rest of the offense. They went a string of 7 games in a row where they started a different offensive line combination. Well, now they've gone 3 straight games with the same offensive line, and they've played much, much better. In their last game, Joe Flacco threw for 381 passing yards. He was a top fantasy option that no one saw coming. So Joe Flacco played really well, and the offensive line played well. And this Monday night, we know the offensive line is going to need to be at its best. The Patriots defense has actually been pretty solid over the past 4 games with 13 total sacks.
Field, the Pats and the Ravens have some history, especially in the playoffs. Do you consider that a rivalry? And where do you stand on rivalries now in the NFL?
Yeah, it might be a little bit overused, but because the NFL is a little bit cyclical and we see teams that sort of rise and fall within the standings, the Patriots are pretty much the only thing that is a sure thing, or have been for the past 15 years. Almost every other team has kind of gone through that rebuilding process or something somewhat resembling it. But I think there's a pretty compelling case, and Mike Reese, my colleague at ESPN, wrote about the matchup between the Patriots and the Ravens. And it's not always about frequency of a matchup that makes it the best rivalry or a rivalry, period. It's about notable instances. It's about storylines that extend beyond the football field. And the Patriots and Ravens have had some great matchups in games that have mattered. They've played in the AFC Championship game. They've played in the playoffs on multiple occasions. The Ravens have been one of those teams that has been able to go to Foxborough and win in the postseason. That does not happen very often. But the Patriots are, you know, a team that I think everybody believes is sort of the litmus test. So when the Baltimore Ravens, the Patriots, play, it's always a rivalry, or should be considered a rivalry now, and it's always a test for the Ravens to see precisely where they stack up.
Field Yates, our NFL insider, joining us here on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie at 101.3 ESPN, thanks to our friends over at Wendell's Furniture. All right, Field, by the way, speaking of the Ravens, did you hear what the kicker Justin Tucker said about that? If you kick it off and it goes through the uprights, you should get a point. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I kind of like the idea, to be honest with you. And I'm not saying that it's going to pass, or I'm not saying that I would necessarily be 100% on board with it, but the creativity is certainly there. And I think there's a possibility that we need to reevaluate a couple of different rules in the NFL. You know, the one that I'm probably more inclined to make a move on if I were in such a position of power would be the extra point. I'm just not sure that moving it back and making it a 33-yard try has made the extra point that much better. The kickoff I kind of understand because we have seen a few big plays in the kickoff department, and I wouldn't necessarily be against the opportunity for teams to just say, rather than having the kickoff, we'll just take the ball to 25, period. So I do think there is some merit to what Justin Tucker is saying, just because it's outside of the box, and the kickoff play is still imperfect as well. I don't know that I'll see that one passing anytime soon, though.
Field, needless to say, some of the Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night matchups have not been too glorious this year, but Thursday's looks good with the Chiefs and the Raiders. What are you looking for in that matchup? And does that show us maybe who the Patriots' biggest threat is?
Well, the thing that I'm looking for in this matchup is the offensive line of Oakland, which has allowed 12 sacks this season through 12 games. That's the fewest in the NFL, facing a Chiefs defense that right now has one of the formidable trios of pass rushers in Justin Houston, Tamba Ali, and breakout star Dee Ford. That's going to be an excellent matchup to keep an eye on. You've got strength on strength there, and keeping Derek Carr upright and clean in the pocket is imperative for Oakland to win this football game. You know, I think it's an interesting question, though, about does it show us who would be the biggest threat to the Patriots, the winner? You know, I think one thing that I don't want to speak out of both sides of my mouth, but I do wonder if people will take the Raiders even more seriously if they go on the road on a short week and win. That would push them to 11-2 and would put the Chiefs basically out of the running for a top two seed in the AFC playoff picture. If Kansas City wins at home, I think people will be saying to themselves, watch out for them come January and February. So you're probably right. Whichever team wins will be tagged as the biggest threat in the AFC to New England, or not named New England.
All right, Field, JPP, he's out for at least the regular season. What do we know about the injury? And by the way, how's that going to impact the Giants now?
Well, the one thing I would say is that JPP has played really, as we all know, has played really well for the Giants this season, and it's been a huge workload. The amount they have relied upon Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul at defensive end has been incredible. Now, those guys are equipped to handle a heavy workload, but unfortunately, we don't have a ton of exposure to guys not named Olivier Vernon and JPP that have played defensive end for them this season. So they're going to have to figure it out on the go here a bit. Obviously, Jason Pierre-Paul is in a contract year as well, so it's something to know for him. How does this impact his market come February and March? How does it impact his future with the New York Giants? That remains to be seen. And you know that when you're playing the Dallas Cowboys, who, of course, the Giants are this Sunday night, they are the only team to have defeated the Cowboys this season. You're going to have to find a way to get to quarterback Dak Prescott. Easier said than done, and the challenge just grew that much more with no JPP on the field.
Field, the G-Men's remaining games, pretty rough. Cowboys, Lions, Eagles, they've got the Redskins to wrap it up as well. Do you think this team's going to wilt through all of that, or do you think they're going to head to the playoffs?
You know, I think they will be good enough to make the playoffs because I don't know if the NFC South or West will produce two playoff-caliber teams. The West probably has already undone itself. And then we'll see in the South, Atlanta and Tampa Bay have the 7-5 record to match each other at the top of the division, but I think there are probably still some question marks as to whether both of those teams can keep up and win. It will probably take 9 or 10 games this season. So I do think the Giants are still in the playoff mix. I think between them, Washington, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay / Atlanta, those are the five teams that are competing for two spots.
Field Yates, our NFL insider, joining us here on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. Thanks to our friends over at Wendell's Furniture. All right, Field, rapid fire. Let's get right at it. Steelers starting to come back to life. Do we take them seriously now?
Yes, but I will say this. This is a team that's had a couple of stretches so far this season where they've been really good, and then they've completely face-planted in a game we don't expect them to face-plant in. Good test on Sunday in Buffalo. Never an easy place to go to and win. There'll be plenty of snow up there in western New York. The Steelers' defense has been much better over the past 3 to 4 weeks as well.
Do the Cowboys need to lessen the workload for Ezekiel Elliott moving forward?
Nope. He's a rookie. Ride him hard. He might touch the ball 400 times this year, and that'll be plenty good for him. He will be just fine.
Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, I think they've been tremendous. Talk about their development.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota has been brilliant for Tennessee so far this year. And he's doing it mostly as a pocket passer, not a guy that's rolling out or a guy that's having a bunch of designed runs, which you would have thought based off of the fact that during his time at Oregon, he was one of the unique college football quarterbacks we've seen in quite some time. Just an incredible runner during his time with the Ducks. He's been so good. Now, Jameis has incredible confidence on the field and has an uncanny ability to find throws that few quarterbacks would even target, and he still fits them into tight windows. Both guys have been so solid for their two teams and look like franchise building blocks going forward. And the bottom line is when you pick 1, 2, 3, or even in the top 5, and you pick a quarterback, he either is a major hit or a major whip. Both of those guys have been major hits.
Field, one of the strangest things I've seen in a pretty strange football season. What'd you make of the whole Cam Newton situation last Sunday?
Well, I always wonder if there's something more to it. If there isn't, I would say this, and call me old school, call me a little bit curmudgeon-y, but if the rule is the rule, which is no tie, no start, you have to enforce it with Cam Newton. You have to, because let's say it's somebody else on that team, Ryan Khalil, their center, or linebacker Thomas Davis, or wide receiver Ted Ginn, or Kelvin Benjamin, or Luke Kuechly, and they don't follow that rule, and Cam has been benched for it, well, the same thing has to apply to those guys. You have to be consistent. You have to build a culture of winning, and a lot of that sort of stems from a culture of consistency and fairness. So I know people were disappointed by it. They were a little bit enraged by it, but I think it's the right call by Ron Rivera if it is, in fact, a rule that is laid out entirely clearly for every player that steps into the building for the Carolina Panthers.
Field, last one. Look, I know you're our NFL guy, but you get into the baseball winter meetings and or maybe college football playoffs?
I get into the baseball winter meetings when I realize that the Red Sox got to be the prohibitive favorites for next year, right? We love to see Chris Sale shipping up to Boston, or shipping east to Boston, I should say, from the Chicago White Sox. Listen, it's a lot easier to sort of enjoy sports you don't cover day-to-day, so looking forward to seeing what the Red Sox can do next year when they have three of the top four inning pitchers from last year's regular season in Sale, and obviously Porcello and David Price as well. And then for the college football playoff, I love the debate. I think Alabama's probably going to run away with this, but I would love to see Alabama, Ohio State, who I think have a chance to be the two best programs in college for the next 6 to 10 years.
All right, Field, great job, buddy. Always love talking to you. We have you on every week. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week, my friend.
Thanks, guys.